Let's go!
Hello, and welcome to the Negative World Podcast, the podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org. This is episode 64, and we're recording this on Saturday, May 31st, 2014. I'm your host, Steven, and I've managed to pull a couple of dudes away from Mario Kart long enough to have a chat about it. So first up, we have my co-host, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for showing up today.
No problem.
I appreciate it. Really quick, did you... like myself, neglect to realize that for the 64th episode, we probably should have done a N64 blowout?
Yes, I did neglect to do that, but now it will be even better when we do our N64 blowout at the 128th episode.
Well, that was going to be dedicated to the Mario 128 Mario's demo, actually, from Space World or whenever the hell it was.
Okay.
No, well, you know, I think we should do an N64 blowout sometime, but unfortunately, this also coincided with Mario freaking Kart freaking 8.
Yep.
That was two freakins in there. So
yep, it's that important.
It is. It really is, and we'll get to that. But we have two people, here to do that with us. First up, we have...
Hey, guys, this is Dave. I'm also called Abdu on Negative World. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for showing up. And all five O's of your name. And then we also have...
Hey guys, it's Grant, and on the boards I'm Game Dad Grant. And in the interest of the 64th episode, I'd like to state that we should all get N or get out.
Thank you. Well, I think we're all N today, huh?
Yes, yep. We are. Yes, sir.
So, awesome.
You know, that's a perfect segue, linguistically, because let's get N to the conversation about Mario Kart. Mario Kart 8, which happens to be, according to an Amazon review I read yesterday, the fourth in the series. And just a quick digression. If you want to laugh of like trolling reviews, go to Amazon right now and read the 1-star reviews. People are just idiots. Like, there's people who give 5 stars to all the Sony games, but then like 1s to every Nintendo, every Xbox game. Wow. And they're talking about how, like, oh, it's only 59 frames a second, this game, it sucks. And someone complained about the fact that in the first game, you know, they loved Super Mario Kart, which they didn't even call it that. They called it Mario Kart 1. But now, you play as a monkey, or a gorilla, you play as... And then I went, even though he's a troll, I still had to correct him and say, you know, you could play as a gorilla in the first one too, right? Because you can play as Donkey Kong Jr. So...
Steven, you do not feed the trolls.
I know.
It only makes them stronger.
But I only did it because I'm afraid of misguided, you know, purchasers who might actually read that and not realize it's a troll. But there was other people letting them know. I only did it to two. I only responded to two. And it's because I was eating dinner. I had nothing else to do. I couldn't play Mario Kart, so.
If anyone... a troll anyway, because playing as a gorilla, that actually sounds like a plus to me.
Yeah.
True.
So, that little anecdote aside, let's jump in. We have, first up today, we have the Mario Kart 8 discussion, which is going to kind of replace the now playing, because we're all freaking playing it. And after that, we have a little quiz show, reminiscent of actually when Grant was last on. We're going to do a Mario Kart music quiz show. And then after that, we're going to just kind of touch upon some pre-E3 stuff, considering, that's happening. Like,
it's coming up.
In 2 weeks, yeah. So... Which there will be a delay in the next episode because I will be on the other side of the country for the entire week of E3. I wish I could say that I was going to be at E3, and that's why.
Just
but,
say it.
Okay, I will be
just
at
say it. How,
E3.
How will they know?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way we can fact check that.
That's true. That's true.
Photoshop yourself next to Jeff Keighley.
Unless one of you guys happens to be in the same class I'm taking for a week for work. So maybe not, but... Anyway, so we'll talk about that, just kind of see where we're at and what we're expecting. And Joe actually prepared a really cool little thing for us four, and actually one guest for the next episode, because someone's already volunteered to be on that episode. So anyway, enough babbling. Let's jump in. You know, I guess, where do we really begin? I guess the thing that I thought about this morning was, maybe I'm just such a Nintendo fan. I know that I'm very positive generally, but there's something magical about right now for Nintendo gamers. It may last a week. I don't even know how long it's going to last, but playing Mario Kart 8, it looks gorgeous. You know, it plays well. And just going online last night and playing with all you guys, there was a good amount of us from the boards playing. I know there's a bunch right now playing, and it's only, you know, 10:38 in the morning. So, just, there's something magical and wonderful, and even though Nintendo only pulls one of these out, you know, once a generation, they really know what they're doing, even when there's flaws and stuff. So I really want to touch upon all this and see what you guys think, but I'm a happy camper. It's amazing. So, Dave, let's start with you. And just tell us, you know, maybe how much you've gotten to play so far, and just what maybe a general thought, or get us in a direction of your choosing.
Sure, I'll take the reins. I've gotten to play the newer tracks, the retro tracks. I have yet to get into. I kind of save that off usually for the end of every iteration of Mario Kart. Like you said, it's beautiful. They've outdone themselves graphically, and the controls are tight. I'll give them that. There are some things that are missing from previous titles, but such as the item stacking. You can't have two items.
You know, and that's maybe a really great place to start. Not to cut you off, but that's one of the most significant changes, I think, from any previous games in the series. So, I mean, how do you feel about that?
So for the racing part of it all, I think it makes it less complex. Actually, that's kind of a good thing. It kind of levels the playing field. I'm not sure if they added in more question boxes so that you get more items. I have yet to, you know, kind of take notice of that.
I kind of don't feel that's the case. Because there's a lot of stretches without them.
Yeah, maybe it's just the fact that, you know, everybody's on the same playing field. Everybody only has one item to go with, and that's that. It really makes the races truly that. I believe that if your racing lines are good, you'll come out, you know, in the top.
Yeah, it does kind of put an emphasis more on the racing and less on the items. But at the same time, I wouldn't say it's a detriment. You know, it feels a little weird, and it puts you in a position where you feel more at risk more often. And that's a little unsettling when you, especially because you, so one of the items now is a coin, you know, to kind of get you coins. And when you're racing and you're in first, you have 10 coins and you get that. It's like, what the hell? So you're kind of left open even longer than you want it to be. Yeah. But maybe that's a good thing. That kind of ups the tension. And I think it's a little bit easier to avoid red shells right now just by, you know, going around a curb and kind of letting it hit something else.
I did feel like they were not as tenacious as in previous games.
Yeah.
And I think it's been refined in a good way, though, because in previous games, maybe it was the N64 version, but that thing would zigzag to make sure it hit
right.
you know?
Right.
But then at the same time, other versions have been a little bit more lax. This one seems more realistic, maybe. Mm. You know, it knows your position, but it's not going to have some sort of pre-calculated route to you. So you have to do more on a personal level of choosing when to shoot that thing off.
Well, so. My wife said she was watching a replay, and a red shell was targeting her, and then she kind of like accidentally went off the track a little bit, and she said the red shell just like kept going by her. So her theory was that the shells might be programmed to stay on the course more. Not that it would never follow you off, but that maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them kind of go off maybe when I've shot one directly into it, but I can see Nintendo making that decision again to refine the experience, to prevent you from, okay, you're already going slower because you're on the gravel or whatever. So why punish you even further necessarily? Right. When you're 12 racers, there's a lot more people to hit, and that's a good thing. Although I do feel like the game can definitely still pick on you in classic Mario Kart fashion, where, you know, one thing just knocks over dominoes of attacks. But there was a race last night where I was in first for the entire race, and literally maybe like five carts length away from the goal, I got hit with a blue shell and three red shells.
Yikes.
All at once, and ended up in like 6th or 7th.
Wouldn't be Mario Kart without that.
Yeah, I know. Ugh. But, and that's kind of a thing. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Like, I guess I like the slight randomness of that, or, I guess it, well, it's not really random either, but at the same time, it's frustrating when you're the guy getting pegged.
But that's the thing, like, in Mario Kart Wii, it happened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it's kind of just it's random.
Yeah, it seems toned down from the last game.
And then there's also
the last console game.
And there's also the horn item, which now, you know, can defeat the infamous blue shell, which actually also worked against me yesterday because this morning I hopped on really quick to play Shadow Link from Australia was still on. He was playing with Steven from I think British Columbia, and so there, you know, I was early for me, and I guess it was kind of all right for them. But either way, we were racing on the Electrodome level, and Steven,
great stage.
Steven was in first. Yep. I was in second, closely behind him. I had the horn. I saw a blue shell coming up behind us, and it was going to hit him. Instead of dodging, like, I just kind of freaked out and trigger hit my horn, killing the blue shell, and then he just got off scot-free. He ended up in first, and I ended up in, like, 6th or 7th again. But
that was nice of you.
Yeah. Oh, I signed on the Skype just because I actually wasn't in the chat with him or anything, but I signed on the Skype just to be like, hey, you're welcome for that.
Very sportsmanlike.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I was so pissed. Because that one race probably would have been the difference between him and I beating each other for the overall thing, you know. But that was that set me in a downward spiral. But I guess that's the fun nature of this, you know. And in Mario Kart 8.
How frequently did you guys get the Super Horn?
I would say I've gotten it less frequently than the blue shell.
Yeah.
But
what about you two?
Yeah.
I have yet to get a blue shell.
Hmm.
I've actually gotten the Super Horn a couple of times already. I mean, I've only been going through the single player 50cc courses, mm-hmm. but I got the Super Horn a couple of times. Now,
sweet.
I thought it would actually be a little bit more sparse, but yeah, I got it a couple of times, and I don't think I've ever gotten the blue shell yet.
Well, I wish we could use that horn three times, just like you can with like the boomerang. Because the horn, you use it once, and I mean, it has a decent blast radius, but it's hard to...
Got to be precise.
Yeah, you really do, even though it's, you know, supposedly a big radius or whatever. You do have to be precise, and so I wouldn't have minded, you know, that, but...
My wife, when she first got it, my wife thought it was going to be one of those, like, limited time usages. So she got it, and she was all excited, and then she started just, like, spamming on the button, and it only happened once, and she's like, wait, what? She was a little sad.
Yeah, I mean, anything else about these items that you guys find interesting?
I find it interesting that I haven't even gotten the boomerang once yet. I've been excited to try that one out, and I haven't even gotten it.
That is pretty cool. And it will bend around the course to a degree to make sure that you're not just, like, hitting a wall all the time. If you're at a bend or something, it will kind of go with it. And it takes some skill to use. I think it's a very welcome new item.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this was the case in Mario Kart 7, but we noticed that the boxes respawn really quickly. At least compared to Mario Kart Wii. Do we know if that was the case in 7, or is this a new twist?
I don't feel like they came back all that quickly.
Yeah.
In Mario Kart 8?
Mario Kart 8 or 7, they all seemed kind of the same to me.
7, I think, was more like normal times, but 8 definitely is expedited right there.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there'll be a guy barely ahead of me, he'll get it, and then I'll be able to go behind him.
Right. And I
think that's a welcome change.
I think
it's kind of cool. I used to I used to have a, not that it was a good strategy, but, you know, like online, I used to try to, you know, snatch like,
yeah,
like get two in a row or like, yeah, like two at the same time, you know, so that they, if they were trying to decide between those two, now they get none. I doubt that strategy really impacted the races all that much, but that's gone. But now also gone is the frustration of being on the receiving end of,
yeah,
you know, you get to a row of boxes and there's just not one for you.
Well, the thing is, though, you still can do that technique. It's just, it's more limited to that split second when you and someone else are right by each other.
Right.
You can't, I mean, in Mario Kart 64, I think, I remember screwing my cousin over all the time when we'd play, just by going into like a narrow area and some of the, like the Donkey Kong level, there's some narrow spots and, yeah, you just smack a bunch of them as you go through, and then you're just left with nothing for quite a while. So
yeah,
it is a welcome change, even though it hurts those who use that trick often.
Indeed.
And I'm trying to think of what else there is. I mean, you got a lot of your standard stuff, bananas, various shells. I'm glad the lightning... Well, no, lightning's there, but that cloud is gone, thank God.
Yes, that cloud is awful.
Yeah, it's...
That nearly ruined Mario Kart Wii for me. That was just such a headache.
Yeah, an item that really is a detriment to receive. I mean, the coin is
it was
a detriment, but not always a detriment. I still like the coin item that we have now when I don't have other coins, because it just helps give you that extra boost, but...
Oh, there is...
Yeah, the... you get that micro boost.
Mm-hmm. What's that, Dave?
There's the piranha plant item.
Yep. How do you feel about that?
I actually like it a lot, because, you know, it chomps, and every chomp gives you a boost. So it's kind of like the golden mushroom dynamic where you've got a boost of speed as well as, you know, it's devouring everything in your path.
Yep.
I've been a little mixed on it. I mean, it's gotten me good a few times, so I'm kind of hating on it. But yeah, no, it is it's a pretty welcome weapon. It's unique. So, I want to jump over to, maybe this might be a short conversation, but to the graphics in general. I mean, would you guys say this is the prettiest Wii U game there is? Or would you say there's others that maybe outdo it?
Probably yes. I don't know what else its competition would really be.
I mean, I guess it depends on a few factors. Like, I think Pikmin 3 is gorgeous. Right. And that doesn't necessarily have, like, the glossy look that this game does. And Super Mario 3D World had that as well. So I don't know if it's, if there's something about the glossy finish or whatever that maybe forces it to beat out Pikmin 3, but it's definitely one of the best looking games Nintendo's ever produced.
I was going to say, for the art style, I can't imagine it being any better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good. I will say, though, I mean, and maybe this is just because I play the 3DS so much, there are some of the tracks and the way things were laid out, like, I wish it was in that stereoscopic 3D stuff popping out at you. There's a stage, it's an underwater stage, I forget what it is, but you're driving, like, towards that huge eel from Super Mario 64.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dolphin Shoals, I think, is the level.
Yeah. Probably, yeah, yeah. And, it looks really cool, but, like, I could just imagine, like, how much more impactful that would have been if I could actually have that thing, like, you know, seem like it's coming right out of the screen at me.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other things too, like even in the menus, on the main menu, you can select online, and it kind of shows that toad hovering above the planet.
Right.
If that was in stereoscopic 3D, I'd be like, oh, that'd be look so cool. But
I've actually got that toad as my lock screen on my phone now because I took a screenshot with my Wii U and
nice.
Put it on there. So it's pretty sweet.
Isn't it also your Facebook cover photo?
Oh yeah, yeah, I did that too. That's right.
Nice. Yeah, I think like Shy Guy Falls, I think that one, if that was in 3D, you might need like some motion sickness medicine or something before you played it, because that one's pretty intense, even just in 2D.
Yeah,
you know, with all this anti-gravity stuff that they're doing, how the camera shifts around, and you kind of get that sense of, you know, height and perspective, I mean, stereoscopic 3D would have blown this game like out so much more impactful than it already is. I'm really hoping that either Nintendo's next handheld or next console can support that kind of 3D, because any kind of retro tracks from this or any new tracks they come up in the future, man, it's going to look so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, not to divert from the tracks themselves, but really quick, do they have to kind of stick with this anti-gravity thing because they can never reuse these tracks otherwise?
Maybe, but, you know, Nintendo's they're not very adhesive to any of their ideas. I'm still waiting for that Double Dash, two riders in a cart thing to come back.
You know, I would take just an interview where they explain why they haven't considered that, or I mean, I'm sure they have, but we have never heard anything about it.
Yeah.
And I know people want it, so I'm not even sure how much I'd appreciate it, but it was interesting, and they'd have to come back with the two-item system again. So if they're really happy with how this is, then that's even a harder sell. But I don't know, I wish they were a little more transparent about some of these questions that, you know, we crazy fans have.
Nintendo's all about their secrets, man.
Yeah. Well, they put it in their first Zelda game. It's a secret to everybody.
Secret to everybody. Exactly.
That was that's just their mantra.
Could you imagine if you were like an executive there, and you know, some employee comes with a question, you could just turn to that. Just be like, "Welcome to Nintendo. Secret to everyone."
And they really do need to bring on. They really need to bring back the two riders per cart, though. I mean, going back to the original Zelda, you know, it's dangerous to go alone.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Although I'm worried if we do a two rider system to fill in all those extra riders they're going to need, they're just going to have more baby characters.
That would be terrible.
Baby Morton
and Baby Morton. Oh my God, Baby Koopalings would be such a sellout. Jeez,
Baby Bowser Jr.
I'm mad at you for even putting that in my head as a concept. That never came into my brain.
And that somewhere in Nintendo, some developer just shot up in bed, and he was like, "Baby Morton, next game."
Why is he sleeping at Nintendo headquarters?
They're Japanese, man. They don't get to go home after work. They live at work.
Oh, jeez.
Takes a long time to make these games, Stephen.
Does it? So, like, while he's sleeping, his feet are like doing programming stuff. So, you know, talking about the levels some more. Let's talk about that. How do you guys feel the, you know, not the retros, but the 16 new courses? How do you think they stack up to other games, the rest of the series?
I think pretty favorably. The tracks are awesome so far.
Would you say that these are some of the best? Well, because you're still working your way through the 50cc, so you haven't seen them. Well, have you gone through the first 16, Grant?
Yeah, I've done all the new courses. Okay. I haven't done all of the retro ones yet.
Okay. Would you say that these are maybe the best or in like the top two games?
I would definitely say that these tracks are some of the best. I mean, I really like the water park one. The Toad Harbor, is that the one that kind of looks like San Francisco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
Trolleys great. Around.
Yeah, that's a fun one to race in.
Yeah, I really like that one. Yep. The Electrodrome is really cool looking. And I actually really like the Mount Wario, mm-hmm. the snow one. Yeah, and that's just like a point to point race. That's no laps or anything in that one.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Well, that one's my favorite.
Is your favorite so far of the new ones?
Yeah, it's because they drop you out of
the airplane. Yeah,
yeah.
So you get this grand view of like the mountains and everything, and you get dropped down on the top of it, and you're racing all the way down. It's great.
It's awesome.
All right, so then. That's you guys. Joe, what's your favorite new level so far?
I mean the Toad's Harbor. I mean that's a very good choice. But since you already mentioned it, I will probably go with Shy Guy Falls. That is so cool to me how you use the speed boosts to go up the waterfall first, and then you immediately hairpin turn and then go down that waterfall.
You know, and they did it better than I think it was Koopa Park or something. In the Wii version.
Oh, sure.
Like, 'cause that had a similar moment, but maybe it's just the how they designed the courses these times. But it felt a lot more natural
drastic.
And it doesn't jitter. Like, I feel like in the Wii version, in that level, you kind of like just the engine doesn't know how to handle that transition that well. sort of like slows down or does something funky. But yeah, this game is so smooth. I mean, I did notice it dropped to 59 frames a second at that point. I swore I saw 58.5, but I'm not going to nitpick.
And now I have not confirmed, but you, when you go down the waterfall and you have to, there's that, that glider boost to get you across the gap. Mm-hmm. You have to hit that or else you fall off the course, right? I mean, on the sides is nothing.
Don't know. Probably. Right? I don't remember seeing any other routes, but
yeah,
I wouldn't put it past just him to put something there.
Yeah. But yeah, I love coming off of that jump and just having that, you know, complete nothingness beneath you. It's mm-hmm. a pretty cool effect.
And Grant, you were saying something?
I was just going to say, I think you actually can go off there, but I was going to mention this kind of going back to the new features. Like, I feel like the race is a lot more streamlined because even when you fall off the course,
yeah,
like the screen doesn't fade to black and then you have to come back and black dude drops you off. Like, he catches you in midair and then brings you back.
It's like they cut the penalty of the time in half, but right. then they compensate for that by taking 3 of your coins, so you're slower.
Right.
And I do appreciate the swiftness of that. When I fall off, it's not like, okay, well, I should probably go get a snack now because I'm going to get in 12 and just sit it out. But there's actually a chance to come back. So
have you guys tried turning around and going backwards? For, you know, he comes in with a sign saying, you know, you need to make a U-turn.
No, I almost accidentally did that this morning. Yeah,
somebody else was racing yesterday in my house, and one of my kids, and they decided to go the wrong way. And I could have sworn that after, you know, 5 seconds or so, he picks you up and puts you the right way.
He does do that. My kids were playing it last night. And yeah, if you go backwards, like the wrong direction on the track, Lacty will just straight up stop you, pick you up, and point you in the right direction again.
I guess that's a cool feature for, you know, for the kids and stuff. But I kind of liked being able to just troll people, I guess, in that. I mean, not online or something, but just, you know, if you're just kind of messing around.
I have a story about that.
Okay.
In the early days of Mario Kart DS, if you were just racing against one other person, because sometimes it was kind of hard to connect with the first online Mario Kart, you always had to go through the first 4 races, right? If the person you were racing against, and this happened to me several times, was so far ahead that on the last race, regardless if you got first or not, you would still lose. I had the guy turn around and kind of taunt me by racing backwards through the course, knowing that even if, you know, he's giving me first place, I'm still dead last.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I'm kind of glad Nintendo kind of nipped that in the bud there.
Mm. You know what? Another thing, too, I think it's coming back to me now. One of the problems along with snaking that has plagued the Mario Kart series is, you know, kind of just people who would have this, you know, the cheats to have like a star constantly, and then they would just bash you. They'd come in and they would just kind of attack. You ever have that?
Yeah, that's happened to me in Mario Kart Wii.
Okay, or maybe that was the one that it happened in. And even though, you know, hackers are going to be hackers, they could probably hack off this guidance system. But maybe that'll help prevent that.
Yeah. You know? Maybe. Now, did you say snaking was? What were you saying about snaking?
I just said it was. Are you in the camp of like people who think it's should be a, you know, like a functional part of Mario Kart? I was just saying that it was kind of a problem. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a cheat, but it was an exploit, more or less. That's
I don't know. I thought snaking was awesome. I love doing that in Mario Kart DS. That sense of speed and the boost you get through there. I mean, you're just like flying.
Right, but it's not something inherently built into the game, and it's not something that everyone can do. So you end up just having the snakers and the non-snakers, and
this is true.
And then it's not really fun. You know, you have to snake to compete, and that's uncool.
I found it a lot of fun.
How are you? Would. No, I don't know. that means nothing. Grant's a very nice guy.
I mean, I always did, you know, if I raced against non-snakers, I wouldn't snake either.
Well, see, okay, so you have a soul, but most people who snaked did not have a soul.
Well, I tell you what, it was super intense. Like, 2 snakers racing against each other. I
can see that.
I've never had that level of excitement in a Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed when snaking was completely removed in the next version, but I mean, Mario Kart DS is nothing but hackers now anyway, so...
Yeah, it's, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a thing of the past.
Dave, were you saying something?
Oh, I was just saying, how are Grant's thumbs after taking on quite the feature?
Oh, hard as rocks!
So, I guess I'll say my favorite level so far, since I haven't done that yet. Oh, no, I did want to say Shy Guy Falls. I love the attention to detail in all the levels, really, but Shy Guy Falls, I think, is a special one because there's so many little Shy Guys doing various things, and they're not just like, you know, 2D cutouts like we've had in previous games. Obviously, the technology grows and gets better, but it's just so fun, like, hearing the Shy Guys' little grunts, you know, going in and out as you're, you know, whizzing past these characters, and I have no idea what they're doing on the waterfall, but they're mining it or they're harnessing the power or something, but it's a really nice touch.
Yeah, I wanted to ask what exactly they're doing. I would guess they're mining something in there, but when you're racing right by them, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually took a minute to stop and look, and they're harvesting Energon cubes.
Awesome.
Energon cubes. Okay, so that's where they come from. All right. Oh, that's what's powering the Electrodrome.
That's right.
Oh, there you go.
Could be.
Oh. Well, you know, I just watched a video... I think it was a Game Explained video on YouTube, and they went through like Double Dash and how all the levels are kind of intrinsically linked. You can see a lot of features from other levels in different racing stages. Right. In the same way that Super Mario Sunshine, kind of, you can see the different levels throughout the game from other levels, and that's kind of cool. So who knows? Maybe there's a link between those two levels here.
I'll leave it up to the Game Explain guys to figure that one out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not going to... I'd rather be playing instead of analyzing this stuff.
Agreed.
I got a few favorites. You know, I'm still kind of deciding. I haven't played the Special Cup, although I might have played some of them online. I know I've played Cloud Top Cruise, which is definitely one of my new favorites.
That one's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I just love the scope and the whole airship thing and the Mario 3 reference and... Sunshine Airport I like a lot, too. Just yes. Driving around. I mean, considering the last episode of the podcast took place on a tarmac, I think maybe that's why I'm so in love with that.
And, you know, it was only the last time that I played the airport level where I noticed that there's an announcer before the race who was like, all passengers leaving for Toad's Turnpike or whatever it was. I just thought that was such a nice touch, yeah.
I'll have to pay attention to that. That's cool.
Nice attention to detail.
Yeah, shoot.
They really need stereoscopic 3D for that stage, too.
Mm-hmm.
Those airplanes taking off and everything, it's so cool.
Yeah, and there's a few times, there's that one spot near the end of the lap where you're flying in towards, and depending on how you're timed with it, a plane is coming at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those two are probably my favorites so far, but Mount Wario also sticks out, and everything else, though, it's just so good. Even Mario Kart Stadium, the very first one, which I think that's the level, or I don't know if it's that or Mario Circuit, Grant, that you and I tried our demo on.
I want to say we did the Mario Circuit was the demo.
All right, so yeah, Mario Circuit, that was the one that we tried, and even that's really splendid. I mean, going back at it now where I can play it a couple times, not just once, and then get shoveled off or whatever.
Right.
And, it's just, for a simple track design, it's so beautiful and so fast-paced. Great tracks. I definitely am loving what we're seeing here.
Yep.
They definitely took the time to, because there's so many different shortcuts you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a nice touch, too. I like finding all those like little like hidden pathways you can take to kind of circumvent the main track. Mm-hmm. That was a really nice touch.
You don't have to focus on the negative so much, but is there any tracks that you just don't care for from this new set? I can't say I'm at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's still too new, I think, for me to really say.
That's true.
I mean, thankfully, there's no, you know, terrible, terrible track like you know, Baby Park.
Let's not get into that debate.
Yeah, I hate Baby Park.
I'm not hating on it, but the Rainbow Road in this version is kind of it's pretty, but it's far from the best one that I've played.
I haven't played it yet, so that's disappointing to hear. But
But it's really pretty.
But it's okay. I could just be like, drooling on myself the whole time and not caring.
I just like how it's like there's this like sci-fi element that was not there before.
That's true.
Yeah, the best I can see is some little snippet on this website here, a little thumbnail. It does look kind of sci-fi, like a space station or something.
Yeah, and there's a friggin' blooper spaceship in the background and stuff.
Sweet.
I think I went in thinking that it was going to be longer, the lapse.
Mm.
I was wondering if the satellite and the spaceships were supposed to be a reference to Galaxy or 3D World.
You know what? I don't know about that, but I know that I heard something Galaxy sounding, some sort of Galaxy style music. I don't know if it was in Cloud Top Cruise or one of the levels has it.
Yeah, Cloud Top Cruise has a sample in there from the Dusty theme. Garden.
Yep. Oh, okay, yep. Yeah, that was a nice treat. Made an already great level a little bit more enjoyable. So, we could even do this with the retro tracks, but with Grant not having played through them all, do you even know what they are, Grant?
Yeah, I spoiled myself on the internet. I know what they all are.
Okay, well then I just want to go around and then we'll get off the topic of tracks itself, but I want to ask really quick, which one are you most excited to have seen come back? We'll start with Dave.
I have to say TikTok. Last night, I haven't played through them all, but when I was playing with you, some of you guys online last night, that randomly came up and I was like, why not? And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that was always one of my favorites on the DS. And to see it kind of in full HD fashion was just icing on an already awesome cake.
Yeah, the one thing that caught me off guard was that the center of the clock faces that you race over are now pits of, despair. So I drove right into them.
Learning curve. And Grant?
I'm a huge fan of Music Park, so I'm super excited to try that one out. I haven't played that one yet. I've only gotten half the retro tracks so far. But, that looks really awesome. It's one of my favorite ones on the 3DS.
You know, since it's a 3DS one originally, I like that we can have such a beautiful level both in HD or in stereoscopic 3D. You kind of get
that
both worlds.
Awesome. That's perfect.
Yeah.
True.
That was so great to see. I think that was probably a no-brainer for them. They knew they had to put that into this one. Joe?
For me, it's Donut Plains 3. Mm. And, it's basically because... Well, first of all, I kind of like that it's a more toned-down track. Like, there's nothing like crazy about it. And I kind of like that they can still have those kind of tracks that are just a little bit more pleasant as opposed to insane and not feel like every track has to be crank to 11, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the other reason is just because for some reason this board, when I played the original Mario Kart, is the one where I kind of stopped for a second and was like, I like this game. So I just have that like imprint in my memory of Donut Plains. And so it was kind of cool to see it come back.
I gotta say, it is the only Super Nintendo one in the retro courses. Which maybe is partially because they can't amp it to 11 without making it totally different. But I do appreciate it for that, and I appreciate how they were able to 3D-ify it better than any other Super Nintendo retro track they've done so far.
Looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it does. So I've liked that level, too.
Yeah. What's your pick?
Of the one that I wanted to see... Well, TikTok Clock was probably my answer. But
that was a good answer.
I'm going to have to go with... Oh, I can't decide between two of them. I've been playing a lot of Yoshi Valley.
That one's crazy.
But I think I'm going to have to go with Royal Raceway.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was always a classic track for me. But I haven't tried it yet. I don't think there's any way around this, but they have a gate in front of Peach's Castle. I really wish they just let you freaking drive over there again for old time's sake. Why do they have to cut that off?
It would be pretty awesome to see a very pristine HD version of the Super Mario 64 courtyard. Yeah. That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, maybe there's some sort of a Game Genie code we can use later.
Wow. Game Genie.
Game Genie for Wii U. requires you to plug in your NES as well, so you can use the old Game Genie.
Stack the NES on top of the Wii U.
So let's jump into something that happens after a race completes. They have the Mario Kart TV, which I uploaded a video right away. My first race I uploaded to YouTube yesterday just to try it and also kind of put that into stone and just, it's always going to be there now, and I'll know how my first race went, which I blew the start, by the way. Horrifically just, like, screwed up my very first start. But uploaded it. It took a little while, like maybe 3 minutes to upload it, but it's in 720p online, so that's nice. It's not like a 480 video. It's actually nice. And, of course, Nintendo wants it to be nice because they want to actually almost have this as an advertisement itself. When YouTube gets flooded with these videos, it's only going to make people want to play.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't too cumbersome after I just logged in with my Google account pretty easily and then uploaded the video. But what I do like, and at least for my cups so far, you know, I'm still working my way through them, but I can't help but watch the replay every race. That'll stop, I'm sure. There was like a race where I did really bad. I was like, you know what? Nothing to see. But there's something really gratifying about watching these kind of simple jumps that you did or these certain attacks that maybe you thought were cool and just watching them and then doing it in slow motion and being able to go backwards. It's simple and it really doesn't add anything to the gameplay itself, but I like it. Have you guys been playing with it?
I didn't, but I wanted to ask. So if I go on YouTube right now, how do I find your replay?
Well, the one downside is they kind of force a very boring and mundane, I think it just says Mario Kart 8 for the description.
Okay.
So I think you would have to have my, you know, you have to know my account to really be able I'm trying to load it right now. Yeah, you'd have to know my account to really find it easiest, but I'm going to it right now. Let's see. I went and edited. Well, they have you type in a message to Miiverse when you're uploading it to kind of kill the time, but also to when they post it to your Miiverse, which happens automatically, you know, there's a little message. I actually had to copy that back into my YouTube video, which I think is stupid. They should have made it so it's on both, but maybe with how YouTube works, it's, you know, it's just how it is. Incoming is the video that I posted. I don't know if you guys will be able to play it while I'm talking here and without, you know, blowing a bunch of the sound through the speakers, but it's cool. It looks nice. It's pretty much an ad for the game, but the different camera angles that the replay has and I don't know. I mean, I guess what else is there to really say about it? It's a replay, but...
Well, let me ask you, is there, because I haven't explored the feature too much, but is there a way, like, if there's one thing that happens in a race, can you go and isolate that or kind of, like, scrub through to get to one point, or is it just sort of, like, luck of the draw whether or not it qualifies as a hit or a whatever the other kind of options
are?
Well,
I wish I knew. I don't know for sure, but there is an edit this highlight as you're watching the highlight reel.
Right.
So maybe you can. I just haven't actually clicked edit yet.
Yeah, I've played around with it a little bit. I know that you can, like you said, mess with the angles to make it more pronounced, but I don't know if you can just focus in on, like, you know, 15 seconds of the race here. But I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it yesterday. So let's say the game sells 5 million copies. And eventually, you know, half those people are going to upload at least one video to YouTube. Out of all those videos, how many do you really think are worth watching? Or, you know, just,
six.
They're just videos. Well, the thing is, when you go into the Mario Kart TV option within the game, and you can see, like, you know, the most recent of your friends, the most popular that are global. And I'm wondering if through time, the ones that are more, worth your time are going to be sorted correctly. Maybe there's going to be glitches or techniques that people want to see. I don't know.
Well, they've actually talked about that. And, I mean, on YouTube itself, it's just, I think it's just fair game. It is what it is. They upload it and then they're done. But for Mario Kart TV, they've said that the most popular based on just pure views are going to kind of filter to the top for that one section, that one segment. So the more people kind of get wind of, oh, this is a really cool video, did you check that out? And then the views grow and grow, and then everyone's being able to see it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, Steven, I just saw your video.
Yes.
Got it. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the start off the jump line.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. Everyone's first time is a little awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, with the wooden wheels. And but it was
pretty
fun.
Cool that you could see this though.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And I picked Toad because that's my girlfriend's favorite character, and she was able to see that and think that was sweet that I did that, you know. Now, I've been taking a lot of screenshots with Minus.com, which is kind of the best way to save your screenshots in HD. And I wish that was a little more smooth because it's not inherently built into the system functionality, but it's definitely a great solution for saving screenshots if you want, because if you post them directly to Miiverse, they get kind of downsized. Online mode in general. Grant, you haven't played online yet, right?
I have not gone online yet.
Right.
So.
I have not either.
Okay. Well, Dave, you and I have, together even. How do you feel that runs?
All right. So compared to other iterations of Mario Kart, I think it's probably the best. Comparing to Mario Kart Wii, you know how you jump online and you'd have to wait, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds to actually connect to the network. Now it feels like it's more seamless.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we played in a group last night, so you can kind of do the what was it called? The WeChat or whatever.
Yeah.
Right before the game. A lot of people were complaining about not being able to chat during the race, but you and I also talked about the fact that during the race, it might be a little more heated talk.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I was on Skype chat with Steven and Tim, who's known as Shadowlink, and Tim can get a little verbose, which is, you know, it's fine and everything, but I think that's what they were probably most concerned about. I don't know if it was even a bandwidth thing. I think the bandwidth savings would probably be like a bonus, but yeah, just you never know who you're going to be stuck with, and then if you can't turn off that mid-race, which maybe they could have designed it that way, but, you know, you have some younger kid on a race, a worldwide race, with some guy who's a vulgar dude, you know, the problems could ensue.
Yeah, you don't want them dropping F-bombs while they're getting a blue shell handed to them or something.
F-bombs and FPSs.
And yet,
hey.
In a way, like GameWizard and some other guys were talking in the thread about this morning, and I think it still would have been nice to have it as an option. And then if you don't want to hear it personally, you can just choose to, you know, omit that so you don't have to hear any of it. But then again, yeah, how do you stop a child from kind of getting an encounter that he may not want or his parents may not want? So
I know just anecdotally that, like, if I'm playing Mario Kart online, I don't want to talk to strangers anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm always just talking with my buddies. And anytime I'm playing an online game, even like on 360 or PS3, We just talk either on the phone or through Skype.
Well, okay. Well, then that kind of, I think my brain was sort of seeing that, and then you just kind of honed it in for me. Yeah, I mean, why couldn't they have done that just for friends? Because I think, isn't the chat room between races, isn't that just for friends?
Yeah.
So then really, sure. You wouldn't have so much of a risk if you got a kid who's playing with his, you know, other friends. Maybe it's not such a big deal. And if they're swearing, he hears it anyway at school or wherever. So, huh.
I think Nintendo was just a little gun shy because, I mean, you remember their situation with Swap Note on 3DS?
Yeah.
You know, when the kids got into, you know, I guess perverts actually found the kids. And Swap Note's even more locked down than, you know, anything on the Wii U, because then you have to actually exchange your friend codes. Right. You have to actually download Swap Note. That's not like a standard thing. Nintendo's just super gun shy about opening up their fan base to the weirdos out there.
And I guess as the family-friendly console, you know, that they have to be concerned about that. It's part of, it affects their sales. While, you know, people who buy the Xbox or the PlayStations for their kids, maybe the it's just not. I mean, it's probably not a concern of the parents, so it's not right. something the companies have to be concerned about.
Especially for this generation, Nintendo really seems to be pushing the kid-friendly, family-friendly angle more so than ever before, I feel.
You know, and as I get older, I can kind of, on the one hand, wish that they weren't, you know, but at the same time, I'm going to go into a stage in my life where I'm going to become, you know, Game Dad Steven, and, nice. And then I'm going to start caring all about, you know, that again. And hell, I'm going to have to change my username once I have a kid.
Yep.
But, in fact, I don't know why you're not Game Dad Dave.
Yeah, well, that's actually something that I was going to point out is, you know, once you have a kid, you start seeing everything through their eyes, and it's not a cliche. It's really that you want them to be, you want their experiences to be the best possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you play Call of Duty or whatever, and some 12-year-old goes off on a rant, that's the last thing you want your kid exposed to.
Yeah. I will say, though, I've got my Wii U locked down pretty hard with the parental controls. And on my son's 3DS, I mean, he can't play any game that's over E for everyone without me unlocking it for him. He can't even go online. He can't even browse the eShop, without my consent. So I feel that Nintendo actually has put in enough, safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's erring on the side of caution.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess for my own personal morals and beliefs and everything, I would prefer they did. It's just like with the spoiler discussion, you know, there's been arguments about whether or not we should have the spoiler tags on Negative World or why do we have to spoiler tag this or that? I mean, I get it, but since you can highlight over it and you can kind of just reveal it so easily, I'd rather spoiler tag something just in case someone didn't want to know about it than to just presume that it's not a spoiler to everybody. You know,
right.
Like the track listing. Like, I was kind of bummed that we knew about all the characters before the game released, just like they did with Mario Golf. And I don't know what Nintendo's deal is, but to unlock a character I didn't know was in the game and then be surprised is a great feeling for me. And so it was kind of disappointing, but with the track listing, I at least wanted to keep that a secret because that was a bit easier to do so. And so if someone had just blatantly started sharing all the different tracks, track names or pictures, I would have been upset. You know, so again, the spoiler tag, err on the side of caution, you know, and most people do that.
Nintendo definitely needs to be a little bit more less spoilery with their stuff. It seems like they're just...
Well, they're the worst.
Lately, yeah. They used to be this, holy crap, you know, game company, like, oh, find out this secret, you know, this thing is hidden, don't talk about it. You know, now we have, like, you know, Reggie, you know, here's 10 new things about 3D World, check them out.
Here's all here- 10 new things.
Yeah.
please enjoy the ending.
Yeah. Here are the end credits.
Yeah. You know, spoiling the you know the roster for Smash. We knew everything about Mario Kart. Like, you gotta leave some mystery, Nintendo. Come on.
You know, but I'm starting to reevaluate that as well. Not to divert the conversation, especially because we're at the end here. But with Smash Brothers, I do follow that website, and I get excited whenever they reveal a new character because. I guess I realize I may not be experiencing that within the game itself, but I am with the characters for Smash Brothers specifically. It doesn't apply to everything. I don't feel that across the board, but I still get that same sense of excitement and like amazement, but it's just on the website. So maybe if they were releasing characters in the same fashion for Mario Kart, it would have been different. Kind of doing a highlight reel of each one, but here they're just like, oh yeah, we have, you know, this new baby character, and then we have this weird, horrific version of Peach. you know, the Deadeye Peach. And it's just different. I guess it's in the execution, and I think they're experimenting. I don't think they'll be like this forever, but, you know, between the internet and between all of us fans who communicate and Twitter, and Nintendo's getting more into the social media aspect anyway, it's just really hard to keep secrets now, so maybe they're saying, well, why bother? Why don't we be the ones to present this information?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one explanation that seems possible to me. Is this, maybe it's a whole just trying to, like, be in control of the message kind of thing. But in this one way, I'm not really sure even why you would need to care about that. But I'm in trying to look for an explanation. That's one of the few that come to mind.
I mean, everyone hates Pink Gold Peach pretty much. But I mean, even though that, you know, Nintendo showing us that didn't change our opinions per se. Right. I'm not in full hatred, and maybe that's because right. Nintendo presented her as like cool new character, as opposed to me hearing it from you guys who are like, you know what sucks? Pink Gold Peach sucks. Then that would be my
Steven,
first
you
experience.
Are not gonna believe this.
What? Oh, yeah.
You're not going to believe this character.
Yeah, Zelda Williams is going to present Pink Gold Peach at E3.
And, Off-White Luigi.
Eggshell Luigi. Yes.
That'd be kind of interesting. At least that would be a different texture. Okay, let's touch upon... we have so many more things in my little, you know, vague notes here, but I do want to move forward. I wish we had, like, 3 hours to talk just about Mario Kart, but... really quick, battle mode. It's very different. It's, you know, 8 tracks that are normal race tracks, and you try to get the highest hits, and if you get hit 3 times, I don't know what happens. I haven't gotten hit 3 times, in a match. I've only played 3-minute matches, though, so I haven't really gone it hasn't been to a point where everyone's been eliminated, which I think I want to play that the best, but when there's 2 characters, you know, it's kind of going to be shitty if you're on the opposite sides of the thing, and you're just jousting around, and I mean, you can turn around, of course, but it just makes it feel very isolated, as opposed to maybe an arena would. But how do you guys feel about that? Just this core change.
I do not like it.
No,
I don't care for battle mode at all. Period.
Well, me either. Well,
so
I
no.
will refrain from this conversation.
No, I view myself as a battle mode snob. I used to play Mario Kart 64's battle mode endlessly with my buddy.
Yeah, it was great.
And I'm going to get up on a soapbox here, but the comparison between the two is the negatives outweigh the positives. Back in the day, you'd be able to, you know, do a lot of different things defensively that you can't really do anymore. And I don't know if it's something that they've taken note of and just taken out, or if it's just luck of the draw and it's gone. But, you know, back in 64, you could spin, like if you press the accelerator and the brake, you could spin around real quick. And if you had like a trio of shells, it would go quicker and, protect you better.
Mm-hmm.
Or hugging a wall would prevent a red shell from hitting you that was coming from above. Or dragging items. I haven't tried this one, but dragging items like in going in reverse would drag it in front of you. So you could, essentially block something coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, you know, the weight and physics have changed, over time. And the fake question marks, I don't think they're in the game anymore.
Nope. Thankfully.
And the red shells, you talked about the red shells, how, you can dodge those now. It's back on 64, it was more, you shot it out and it would try to find the quickest way towards your opponent, possible. Now it's more floaty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine and good. I know on the Wii version of Mario Kart, you could drift and then quickly hop the other direction and it would basically miss you. Those are the main things. Oh, also, the time limit. Now in Mario Kart 8 you have to have a time limit. So regardless, if your match lasts more than, I think it's 5 minutes, whoever has the most, you know, the better ratio, wins.
So I guess my last question then for this discussion, and maybe we'll have to bring this game back up, in future podcasts, but, do you think that they're going to patch in DLC, court, like actual arenas? Because the only thing that gives me hope is, the fact that the way that the level select is set up, there's 8 courses and they take up the whole screen, but yet, well, it's a dedicated screen and you just have the 2 rows of 4 and there's room for more. They could definitely amp that up if they wanted to. So I'm hoping they have something planned. But then again, I don't know. Nintendo doesn't always do what I want. So
the fact that they've announced already free DLC with the Mercedes cart.
Yeah, that's the other reason. Yeah, that gives me kind of hope that it could be possible.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll have to wait and see. So, okay, final question then. How do you feel about that Mercedes?
So dumb, I love it.
So dumb, I don't really like it.
It is what it is. It was kind of weird that they partnered with just Mercedes. I want to drive around my Ford Escort that I used to drive around in high school.
I think it would be a jump in the shark tenfold if they were to do lots of promotions like that. But yeah, anyway, that's kind of Captain Obvious quote there. But okay, so I guess let's take a quick break and we'll come back and have a Mario Kart quiz show. Alright, and we're back. Let's do a fun little brief, hopefully, quiz segment. I have 12 tracks from Mario Kart games, music tracks, and I'm going to be asking you to listen to the sample. It's a 10-second sample, fades in and fades out, so 8 solid seconds of actual content, and I want you guys to send me messages in the in Skype. For the following things, make sure you say all 3 or omit if you can't think of it, but there's up to 3 points per thing. I want to know the game it's from, I want to know the level it's from, and I want to know the cup it's from. Alright? And I'll read the answers aloud, and we'll see how many points we total up. 12 tracks, 3 different things, it could take some time, so let's bust a move. Again, I'm going to have to kind of play this to the headphones, so bear with me, everybody. Hopefully you can hear it. Let me know if you can't, but get ready for the first one?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Okay. Here's the first song. Okay, there we go.
Jeez.
That was the first one. All right. David's coming in first. No, it's not that. It's not Weezer. Weezer, Say It Ain't So Blue album, unfortunately.
Nice. Awesome.
Phil Park, no. Okay. Grant's giving me the first real answer here. Are Joe and David, are you guys...
No, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so that's... That's a big fan zero for you guys. Grant says Super Circuit, Ribbon Road, Flower Cup. Unfortunately, no. That's incorrect on all counts. This is Mario Kart. This is Mario Kart DS, Tick Tock Clock, Star Cup.
What?
Which, guys, come on. Tick Tock Clock is even in the new level or the new game. So,
I heard those high pitched like drum beats. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that. It kind of sounded like a Banjo-Kazooie song, actually.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really hear the underlying rhythm of the TikTok track there.
You know, and I do hope that, you know, I apologize that this isn't so efficient. If a listener out there knows how I can patch in iTunes audio into a Skype call, please tell me how. Because looking online, I've seen nothing but kind of convoluted instructions, and I can't seem to figure it out. But it's got to be easier than this. So I would love the help. But until then, let's move on to our second song here. Song number two. We've got Dave. We've got Joe. And we've got Grant. Okay. You all said the same thing.
No way.
But here's the thing that I guess I should have looked up, because you guys are actually not all right. all right, you all said Mario Kart 64. That's correct. That's definitely correct. That's 1 point there. You said Moo Moo Farm. That is not correct. This is Choco Mountain.
Really?
Yes, it is. Choco Mountain.
But we all said Moo Moo Farm.
Yes.
Maybe we are right.
No, you're not.
Maybe you got the song.
No, and the thing is, this is a touchy subject, because some songs from past games have been used in multiple things. So I've been very careful. I'm pretty sure this is just Choco Mountain, which unfortunately that also means your cup is wrong, because it's Flower Cup.
But I'm hoping that there aren't a lot of like the different variations of like the Ice World theme and the Donkey Kong theme, because you know the beach theme, because all those sound alike.
Yeah, well, I don't know how dickish and evil I was now that I look at it.
How evil are you, Steven? Yeah,
let's see. Well, I tried to be remotely fair. So let's go into number three. Good song right there. Okay, Joe's got him. Dave tried anyway. And Grant. Okay, so this is kind of an evil game. I'm sorry, guys. All right, let's start with David here. He says Double Dash and then nothing else. Unfortunately, that is incorrect. We have Joe with Mario Kart 7, Luigi Circuit, and the Mushroom Cup. You're right, it's Mario Kart 7, but it is not
Luigi Circuit. Any of those other things?
No, none of the other things. Actually, let me see the cup. No, yeah, that's wrong. And then, Grant, you have Mario Kart 7, Maka Woohoo, Star Cup. This is why this was a dickish evil one. You're right, it's Mario Kart 7, but it's Woohoo Loop.
Ooh. Oh, and that should have been obvious, because that's the, Wii Sports Resort music.
And they did have different songs, so sorry to trip you up on that, but I appreciate the effort. Please don't come to my house. And
you want to give him a 0.5?
Yeah, give him a 0.5.
Give him a 0.5? Okay. We'll give you a
0.5. That'll be the tiebreaker like we needed last time.
That did come in handy.
Come in handy. I'm going to take it.
Grant's got the 0.5 then. Fair enough. All right, let's
go. There might not be a lot of points scored today anyway, so.
Well, so far, we got Grant with 2.5. We got Dave with 1 point and Joe with 2. So it's a close race.
Wow.
Let's go to number 4. Now this one, I'll tell you right now, has two courses to it. So I'll accept either answer, and either combination of the cup as well. Okay, good attempts, guys. Okay, Dave has Mario Kart 64, Cheap Cheap Beach, Star Cup. Unfortunately, neither of those is right, or none of those. So that's a 0 for him for that round. Joe, you said Super Circuit, Shy Guy Beach, Flower Cup. That is incorrect, although I will give you Flower Cup.
Because
that is one of the possible answers. This is actually from... Grant said here. Grant got all three right. It's Double Dash, Peach Beach, Mushroom Cup.
Or winner, chicken dinner.
We would have accepted Double Dash, Daisy Cruiser, Flower Cup. And that's where Joe gets the point, is that Flower Cup right there.
I was going to say it was, I thought it was the retro track from Mario Kart 8, the Yoshi, whatever it is, Yoshi Names.
Uh-huh. You know, yeah, I will say I didn't use any retro... tracks, because I didn't want to confuse you guys by saying, oh, well, this actually was a Mario Kart 7, this song was from that, but the game, they're all from their original courses or whatever, games. Yeah. I probably should have said that before. I'm sorry. Let's go into number 5. This might be the toughest one of the whole thing, so. And actually, the one clue that you probably would be able to get was so quiet in that song that I don't know if you even heard it.
Yeah, I was going to say, even that time, it was still pretty quiet. I'm not... I'm not really sure.
I'm sorry.
Again,
while they're thinking, anyone out there, please help me, for the love of God. I could really use, learning how to patch this in direct so you guys can hear this the best. Because I want to keep doing these quizzes on occasion, so.
Yeah, these are pretty awesome.
All right. Grant, anything?
Thank you for putting them together.
Oh, no problem, no problem.
Yeah, I can't even, wager a guess.
All right, taking a mulligan or something, right? Is that what it's called? All right, let's go to Joe, who unfortunately had nothing right. You said Double Dash is Dino Dino Jungle Star Cup.
I sure did.
But David,
stand by that answer.
David, you're kind of amazing because you knew the game Super Circuit, you knew the cup Flower Cup, but you didn't know the level.
Yeah, it's escaping me, but it's something that's tucked way back in the cobweb filled brain of mine.
Based on the things that I say in this podcast, it's probably where I'm from. It's Cheeseland. from Super Circuit. So, and if you guys can hear the song well, then you definitely didn't hear the little mouse squeaks at the very end of the sample, which was my big clue to you guys. But and everyone listening to this at home is gonna hear it because I'm gonna be able to edit this in correctly. But all right, song number 6. Putting their answers in. This is one of my favorite tracks from any game. Just in general to play. All right, Joe's first.
I don't know.
I don't know. Silver Surfer.
Wait. Wait.
Well, okay, Joe. If you want to change your answer, I'll let you.
I'm just gonna. All
right. So Dave's got his final answer. Grant's got his final answer. Joe. Can you be more specific?
Just I'm blanking on what.
Give me your three tier answer, your official three tier answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right. So let's start with Dave here. Mario Kart DS, Luigi's Mansion, Mushroom Cup. I appreciate you had the theme right, like the general spookiness. But let's jump to Grant here, who nailed it. Although actually, you didn't nail the cup, but it is Mario Kart 64 Banshee Boardwalk.
Banshee.
And it's the special cup.
Got it. I knew it was one of the later cups. I wasn't quite sure which one it was.
Let's move on to track 7. Oh, you know, I didn't even say Joe's answer. I just
Joe's awesome answer, because it was so awesomely dead on.
But here's the thing. He got the special cup right. So I'm sorry, I'm sure Joe. Did. That's one point for you.
I was on the right track. I said Ghost Valley because I couldn't remember
the name of it.
That it was called Banshee Boardwalk. Yeah, and the specific platform.
But no.
Okay. Anyway.
A point for the cup. I'm sorry.
Yep.
So good job. So do you want to play that song again? Or
let's do that again.
All right. Here's track 7 one more time. So good. That was one of the first tracks I picked out for this. Okay. All right, Joe's got his answer. Thanks for the spell correct. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't want you to get confused.
Man, I'm having a hard time deciding which. It sounds familiar between two tracks.
Uh-huh.
God, I can't remember which one it is.
I say go with your gut. Go with the instinct.
What does your heart tell you?
Is it a secret to everybody? We're going to find out. Okay. All right. All answers are in. Dave, you have Super Mario Kart, .. And unfortunately, that is incorrect. so that's a 0. Joe, you have Mario Kart Wii, Moo Moo Meadows, Mushroom Cup. That is also incorrect. And then Grant.
Ay, 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 ay.
You're hearing those sounds because during recording, the voice call was dropped. We reconnected quickly and planned to simply edit out this mistake and continue forth. Unfortunately, by the time all was said and done on the segment, and Grant had to leave for a personal matter, it was realized that the recording software had stopped when the call dropped. This means that the remaining 5 songs of the quiz show were lost. It's a shame because there were some funny moments and a tense battle going into the final song. To keep in the spirit of the quiz show, I'm going to still keep those snippets in here for the listener's benefit. However, for the sake of timing, I will be brief between them, only stating how many points each user earned for the songs. This hopefully is enough time for you to take your own guess. If not, feel free to pause the show as I will announce the song itself at the end of each portion. Thank you for understanding. Now, we left off with Daisy Hills from Mario Kart 7 in the Mushroom Cup. Grant didn't earn any points, so let's move on to Song 8. This is a fun track to play, and nobody even got close to guessing it. It's probably because I chose to play a song from the brand new Mario Kart 8 game. I took one from the Mushroom Cup in hopes that people would actually have played it, and yet nobody got the cup right even. Nobody got the song right. Nobody got the game right. It was kind of a trick. But being track 8, you know, that hint existed. Still, Sweet Sweet Canyon is a delicious new song from the newest Mario Kart on the block, and that's what that was. So after that came track 9, and it sounds like this. For this song, everyone was close but no cigar. I was surprised, as I suspected that it was one of the easiest in the lot, but Grant admitted that he wasn't very strong in Mario Kart Wii tracks. So this Flower Cup entry was Wario's Gold Mine, and it's definitely one of my favorites. So moving on, the 10th song in the game sounded like this. So I was pretty pleased to have this track in here for two reasons. First off, my lovely girlfriend, known as Opponent Eats Carrots in the forums, she chose it as one of her favorites. It also has two answers. Joe missed it entirely, unfortunately, but Grant and Dave both actually had completely separate but correct answers, which kind of made me happy, I guess, that both, you know, both guys got both answers. So I don't really recall who got what, but the correct answers are Yoshi's Valley with the Special Cup and Moo Moo Farm with the Mushroom Cup, again from Mario Kart 64, if I didn't say that already. So with that said, there was only 2 tracks left to go. So track 11 was familiar to Grant instantly, but not really to Dave or Joe. And this song is also featured as a retro track in Mario Kart 8, so I was kind of surprised that nobody picked up on it. In fact, I think Grant was the one who said earlier in the podcast that he hasn't played any retro tracks yet, so and he was almost at a disadvantage. However, I ended up playing it twice because they couldn't really hear it initially, and I think that might have helped Grant's memory. This was Music Park from the Flower Cup in Mario Kart 7, and this left Grant with a commanding lead, but Dave and Joe were tied with 7 points, so we had the final track, which kind of helped be the tiebreaker. Yeah, not try, the tiebreaker there. Here it is. So Grant knew this track as well, earning him 3 points and confirming the win with 16.5 points. Dave earned 1 point and Joe earned 2, so he just squeaked into second place. I'd hoped everyone would have picked up on this since Smooth McGroove actually just did a cover of it on his a cappella YouTube page. The final track was Rainbow Road of the Special Cup from Super Mario Kart, which actually we hadn't had any other Super Mario Kart tracks in the whole quiz, and my goal was to actually have at least one song from each Mario Kart game. Of course, there were some duplicates in that respect. So anyway, thanks for understanding, and I hope the self-narrative wasn't too droll, but I wanted to fill in the gap before we head into our final portion of the podcast, which exists in its entirety. since Grant had to run off, you won't hear him anymore. And actually, you'll hear me probably tell you this. We recorded this earlier today, and I don't really recall. I just remember being devastated, and some of that got recorded. So hopefully, you know, it's not too repetitive now at this point. But this whole thing is a lesson learned, and we shan't not see this again. Hopefully. So enjoy the rest of the show.
Bingo! Ho, 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 ho!
All right, and we're back from our break from the somber break, I guess, because we just realized that our recording stopped midway through the quiz, which is why you probably already heard me explain this once before, because I have to edit that in. what a devastating moment. We had a bit of a technical difficulty, and I did not realize the recording decided to stop itself.
It stinks that my epic comeback and eventual win was not recorded.
Now remember, I still have the points, and I still announce them. So yeah,
all space and time was not erased.
Yeah, no, it's not like we lost every. If all space and time was linked to a Skype call, then oh my god,
that'd be bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez. Okay. So yeah, unfortunately, that's happening. So this is a shorter episode than the 3-hour epic we had last time. Negative World, The Odyssey, but we're going to spend the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes here talking about E3. E3 2014 is coming up in just about 2 weeks, 12 days really, I think, right? Not even 12 days, shoot, 10 days, I think, it starts up. So, wow, 10 days from now, from this recording, so who knows when you're hearing it, but we have E3, and just to get us started, Joe kind of had this cool idea that that a couple of us guests are going to do. It's E3 bingo. So he made up some cards with some various bingo spots, and in those bingo spots are different things that could happen, or not necessarily are likely per se, but just things that could happen or we hope to see at E3. And so we're going to see if anyone gets a bingo. And He made them for myself, for himself, for Dave, for Grant, who, by the way, this is a good segue, so I don't get too far in this. Grant is no longer on the call. No, when Skype, you know, crapped out, it did not erase Grant, but he had a personal engagement that he had to run to, and so that was our break that we took was the perfect timing. The poor bastard does not yet know that we lost his victory.
He said he was going to take his quiz trophy and put it on his Mario Kart as a ornament.
As an ornament, yep.
Yeah.
But so unfortunately, again, that happened, and unfortunately, Grant is not with us right now. But we do have a card for him as well, and then we have one for PokeFreak 911, who is already scheduled to be on the E3 podcast we'll be doing after E3 elapses. So. That's pretty much it. All the cards have the same answers on them. It's just that they're rearranged. And Joe, do you want to help me read through these really quick, just to kind of?
Yeah. Which one do you want to
open
pick?
Up? My card.
Just, okay.
Because it was the top one. And
Yep.
And just
got it.
You read. We'll go down the column. So we'll do the B column, the I column, the N, etc. And
sure.
We'll just take turns. Please start.
Okay. So the first one in the first column. Is getting some solid info on Retro's next game. And this was something that you, I believe, had suggested because you just kind of felt that between the Donkey Kong games, there probably was room that they could be working on something else, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be, we're hoping to see Reggie Fizamek. So if he shows up, there's a point there.
The next one is holding out hope that Zombie U somehow gets a sequel, even though Ubisoft may have said they already are not going to do that, but just holding out hope.
I did not know that, but okay. That kind of hurts my chances.
Well, I think they just said something about, you know, I don't know, game underperformed or whatever, but you never know.
Yeah. There's a square for finding about the quality of life idea that Nintendo was kind of hinting at, the details of that.
Mm-hmm. A Metroid Prime 4. I think a lot of people are waiting for that.
Me? That should have been, like, the entire card for me.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs on Wii U showcased. Because I brought that in because I feel like they might just, even though it's out now on every other platform, they might be like, hey, look at this game we're going to get. And, yeah, so.
Yeah, definitely. The next one is a completely new IP. Totally out of the blue IP that we've never heard of before getting announced.
Mm-hmm. The GameCube Virtual Console official. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. The verbiage is funny. Yeah, there's a square for them announcing the GameCube Virtual Console. Considering there was that adapter announcement recently, so maybe they're lining that up.
Yep, would make sense. The next square is some kind of Wii U system update. You know, if there was maybe some new little feature that was going to get rolled out around E3, or even just a tweak to the menus, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's probably going to be a new Reggie meme, so hopefully that'll get me a point there in the I column.
Yeah, most likely he'll say or do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Snap on the Wii U. I think it's something people have been thinking about ever since the gamepad was shown off. It seems like a logical usage. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how long it's been since Pokemon Snap, so maybe this next square actually kind of counts towards that too, but a franchise's first new installment in 15-plus years.
Right. So super old franchise gets brought back to life.
So like, what's that one game everyone loves? Zoda's Revenge. Star Tropics.
Yeah.
There's Star Tropics. Bam. Point.
Exactly.
Loomba.
What's that?
Would you like to describe the free space that you've set up?
Oh, sure. The free space is the Reggie Fils-A-Mech face. Yeah.
Yep.
If you don't get a bingo, it comes out of your computer and obliterates you. So it's a little motivation for us to hopefully get a bingo. Mm-hmm. So what's the next square?
The SNES remix getting announced. I don't know. Some people think it's a foregone conclusion. Other people think it will never happen. But it definitely could happen.
Yeah. This one I really hope. I hope this one comes true. The new asymmetric or novel use of the gamepad.
Yeah, they should try to show some of those off.
I mean, per our last discussion in the last podcast, they kind of really need to do that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Didn't they say that that's what Miyamoto has been focusing on for the past few months?
I think that's right, though. I think he has been working on something. I mean, he doesn't really touch on the Zelda games too much anymore. You know, and he's more of a director anyway. And like an overseer, so hopefully he's taken that into his own hands.
Yeah.
The next square was for a new 2D Metroid to be announced. So Prime 4 is for you. This one would be for me.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe we'll see X get another, or not another title, but an official title.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe, it could be X.
But... And that would count. That would count.
Yeah. Super Mario Galaxy 3 being announced is the next square. And we don't know if they're going to continue that for their 3D Mario or what.
But. Yeah, and I would say an equivalent would be fine for that square.
Yeah.
During that square. Gaijin Games working on Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's been announced already. So if it has, then this is kind of a silly square. At least maybe a showcase. So if it has been announced, then an announcement. If it has been announced and I just didn't realize it, then a showcasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then along the lines of the Wii U system update, this next square is a 3DS system update. Mm-hmm. So same exact concept, but just for the 3DS.
And then Wii U/3DS sales talk.
Mm-hmm. Could be interesting, especially if they have enough numbers on what I'm sure was some kind of boost that Mario Kart 8 has given the Wii U. That could be interesting if they are able to share those a little bit. Next is Majora's Mask 3D, something that I've been hoping for since Oot 3D was made. So hope to see that happen.
Then this other square here is for NFC being displayed using the Mario franchise.
Mm-hmm. Seems, I think that's a likely square. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is an official July release date for Smash Brothers 3DS.
Yeah, this one was kind of my push, I think, in putting this here. Right. I feel comfortable that they're going to say that it's going to be ready sooner than later. They said
well,
summer.
When I picked up Kart yesterday, my frigging local game shop did not have their shipment yet. So as much as I like to support local business, I had to get Mario Kart 8, so I went to GameStop. And the girl at GameStop said she had heard that, like, some leaked information that Smash Brothers was definitely releasing in July. So, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like GameStop information kind of, like, bounces around. Like, sometimes some employee says something they shouldn't have. And
yeah.
I don't know.
My uncle works for Nintendo, and it's already released.
What?
Well, shit, what are we doing here?
I see what you're doing.
I'm just going to cut this recording, too. Let's just go.
This is like back in the day when everyone's uncle worked. I see what you're doing.
You know what? No joke. There was a kid in my, I think it was junior high, maybe. I forget exactly. I guess it was junior high. That makes sense, considering the time frame. But he told me that he had a demo copy of Super Mario 64 2, and that he was going to bring it into school. And, I mean, I didn't really believe him, but I was hopeful. And that son of a bitch never did. I was like, dude, you suck. And he's like, no, I got it. I swear. I just keep forgetting it. I'm like, okay, yeah. And he never brought it in.
Yeah.
Evil.
Yep.
So, but hopefully the July release for Smash comes true. And then lastly, the last square is a new platform added to the Virtual Console. Mm-hmm. So describe that one to me, Joe, really quick.
Oh, I'm just thinking on, like, for the Wii U that, you know, there's a bunch of, even just systems that were on the Wii's Virtual Console that you can't then just download right to the Wii U now. So even if they just were to expand that.
So if the game
so it doesn't have to be completely new.
Okay.
Would
someone get both squares if the GameCube comes true?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, all right.
It would count.
In my card, anyway, they're not in the same line, so it wouldn't, like, give me an added boost. But all right, so yeah, so those are the squares. You know, it's kind of hard to do something visual like this and then just read it to you. Hopefully that wasn't too boring. But those are different things that you and I both discussed as hopeful things that we think are actually possible. I think Infinity Wave or someone does that, a similar thing on the forums every year. And I'm looking forward to that, where you do a different wagering, I think, as well. to a degree, because each has a point value of likeliness and everything, and so that'll be a forum version for people. Dave,
that affects your experience, your XP on the boards, right?
Yeah, and if you drop down to zero, you get banned for life. So,
gotta get that XP.
Yeah. Dave, I want to ask you then, since we kind of droned on, any of these that kind of really are something that you think are plausible, or even that you just hope to God they come true?
Yeah, so the GameCube Virtual Console stuff, I really hope that comes true. They did say that was going to be supported a while back, so I'm hopeful.
So you're hopeful that it now's the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean with that adapter they just talked about for the Wii U Smash Brothers, I really hope that they're just going to do it all at once and not let the adapter sit there for 2 years and then be like, oh yeah, we can do GameCube games now.
You know, another thing that I'd love for them to do all at once is re-release the stuff that is on the Wii Virtual Console.
Yeah.
On
Joe, you and I were talking about this recently and how, I mean, I know that they have to kind of retrofit things into the new system, the new eShop. They want to have gamepad support and that might take some time, but I hope they've had a team on this since day one, and that they were just planning on, you know, eventually unveiling the whole thing.
Here's the thing. Like, if you want to play your Virtual Console games that you downloaded once for Wii, you can through your Wii U. You just have to boot it up as a Wii system, right?
Right.
So why don't they just make some way to get to those games quicker from the Wii U menu?
Almost like a application icon, a shortcut that just would boot up Wiimote and that game directly.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to do the extra clicks. It would just, you know, tell you, prompt you, you know, please wait while it's booting, and you know fair and well that, you know, it's booting in Wii mode, but you don't need to do anything.
Right. Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, at that point, though, I mean, I guess that would be a stopgap. I think people would like to still have these playable on their gamepad and everything. But then again, that's, you know, going to cost people more money. So maybe at the very least, we would like to see what you just said.
Yeah, well, that's not what I just said. Isn't very business oriented, so they're probably not going to go that way.
True. All right. True. Anything else that caught your eye? Or your ears?
So it doesn't really bother me that much that third party support is dwindling, because I really do buy Nintendo consoles for Nintendo games, but I would like to see some third party support.
Is there any particular game or franchise you're hoping comes there, or is it just the philosophy in general?
Just the philosophy. I want to know that, because there's all these rumors about, you know, their relationship with third party publishers is crap, and you know, there's drama going behind the scenes. I would just like to know that relationship is still okay.
Yeah.
Because when I go to the store and I see that, you know, the glass case full of games for, you know, your Xbox 360, and I see all those, like, you know, just different options, not necessarily I'm going to play everything, but just to have the ability to have that option,
right,
is nice.
Yeah. And I feel, you know, I felt this way on the Wii, that there would be like first party games that I thought looked especially good. And to me, it would always be like, well, this sort of invalidates or at least weakens the excuse that third parties give about, like, oh, the system's too, you know, underpowered for us to achieve our vision or whatever. Now, seeing Mario Kart 8, I feel like that whole argument comes back again, because Mario Kart 8 looks so gorgeous that I feel like it's just harder to believe when third parties say, like, they can't achieve their vision on the platform.
It gets frustrating because those comments always come out at the beginning of the life cycle. So when they haven't actually tried long enough, they look at pure specs and they might argue that, or and maybe they've had a dev kit or whatever, but I guarantee they haven't really maxed out their attempts, or they haven't figured out workarounds because they haven't tried hard enough.
Right.
Not that I'm a game developer, but I'm a developer for a company. But I would think that, a third party like EA, they're massive. They get a dev kit, which is, you know, a drop in the bucket for them. And they start playing around with it. They still need to create their own framework on top of Nintendo's SDK.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time, resources. And if, you know, top execs that are not tech guys, that don't really understand what's going on, what's the positives and negatives of the technology that's inside it, they could just be like, no, we're not going to invest our people into that and just move them off to, you know, the Xbox or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's tough for us, Wii U only owners.
Indeed.
I guess anything else on this card that catches anyone's eye before we, or anything that doesn't, I guess we can, you know, feel free to just kind of mention anything, that comes to your,
Zelda, attention. Zelda.
You know, there was no Zelda on this card. Yeah. So what about Zelda?
Well, I do like the look of the, what is called Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought about it yesterday. What if they were to, like, in their direct say, oh, by the way, this Hyrule Warriors is actually the official next iteration of Zelda.
Yeah. Wow. And then watch the internet explode.
Yeah.
Well, have they shown us gameplay footage?
Well, we saw some right at the beginning, didn't we? Or was it always just still images?
Right. The rough stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it plays, we haven't seen it since.
But it plays differently, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it plays, I mean, if I remember correctly, it plays like the Dynasty Warriors games.
Yeah.
But I mean, couldn't they essentially tack that on to, your dungeons and all that stuff?
Yeah.
They could. I mean, it might be a good starting point, but I would kind of prefer Nintendo to not work with... Well, maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's just I don't really know these Dynasty Warriors guys very well.
I don't either.
Because, I mean, Retro working on various games in Nintendo's main wheelhouse has paid off. But then again, Retro is also a second party. So I just don't know how comfortable I would feel with these guys manning an actual main Zelda title. Has nothing to do with cleavage in my games either. But the art that I've seen does feel different than the actual core Zelda world landscape. So, I don't know, I wouldn't really like that myself. That would be my Fizamex square.
Yeah, I think it will be very interesting to see how they do handle Zelda, because they have this one game that clearly they are sharing information on, and they're trying to get hyped up a little bit. But people kind of don't think of it as the next Zelda game. They might think of it as like a good holdover for fans of the series or something. But I think most people are predicting that it will be something else that is the actual flagship installment.
Yeah.
And so then what do you do? I mean, people mentioned on the boards, do you mention that next installment and potentially distract from this Hyrule Warriors game you're trying to hype? Or do you ignore it and then people will start to get worried or what?
I think they need to be upfront about it, because if you want Hyrule Warriors to sell better than maybe it might already, if you make them seem like two distinct properties and distinct experiences that take place in the Hyrule universe or whatever, then you're gonna, I think people will still want to play Hyrule Warriors. They'll want to get something, you know, this kind of new fix, this different take on things.
Yeah.
But if you make it muddy and people aren't sure about it, then when finally the new game gets released, they'll be like, okay, well, I don't even want to mess with this then. But I think timing is really critical. And they need to show off that, like, Hyrule Warriors is doing combat in a cool way, but the new Zelda will do it in a different but cool way. And I definitely don't want them to just rehash, like... I mean, I wouldn't mind Skyward Sword controls again, personally, but I don't want them to just rehash the formula. I want them to innovate as well, and that's what they're trying to perhaps do with this Dynasty Warriors mashup.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I just hope whatever they do at E3 that they manage to stick the landing, as it were, or pull off that that intangible quality where people leave, you know, whatever they do, what, you know, it's not going to be a traditional presentation, but whatever they do, with a good taste in their mouth, you know, that it's I don't need any of this win E3 stuff. I just hope that whatever it is feels, you know, good, and people are a little bit more upbeat about the Wii U or Nintendo in general. That's my hope. That's my biggest hope.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't embarrass yourselves. That's basically it.
My biggest hope is that the direct, the stream, does not go down. That was pretty unfortunate. I was actually really happy to hear that they were going to have something pre-recorded that wasn't going to be cringeworthy. And for me, when I went online, I couldn't see it.
And you were watching it live, so to speak.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it live. It's kind of like a ritual for me. I took an early lunch and I sat down and didn't see anything.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what happened with me last year, but I too take it very seriously. I think I waited till I got home because I was working, and I think I bought a Slurpee and probably something else, treat and fatty and delicious, and sat on, you know, so I actually delayed it. It was delayed by 4 or 5 hours or whatever, and I was able to stream it at that point, nice and easy peasy, but I heard a lot of people were frustrated, like yourself. Yeah. I guess they just need to have multiple sources.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't know how it really works, but did they have just one source that was being fed elsewhere? Because I watched it on YouTube, I think, but I know that Ustream was doing it.
Yeah, I think shortly after they had the live feed, they posted it to YouTube, and that's basically what I had to do. It was just, I don't know.
Well, I guess they don't want to do it to YouTube right away because they don't want people skipping ahead and reporting on what happened in the last 5 minutes before it's even done. So I get that. I mean, did they have, like, problems with the Super Bowl or some major event recently, or did they get that worked out? I guess I don't follow streaming technology too well.
I know the lights went out in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
That was unrelated.
That was Waluigi, actually.
whatever it is, though, they do have to have a better plan, have a solid plan in place for that this year, because, you know, if you're not going to go do the normal conference, that's no problem, but you have to make sure what you are doing works.
Yeah. And maybe they underestimated in the past year or two how many people online actually care, but I would think that by now they have an understanding of just how important this is to people, and if they're going to choose to not have it at the show where it's going to have press coverage, television coverage, etc., they've really got to make that strong. So, did they have it on Spike TV or something like that?
I don't think so. Like, did the stream go on Spike TV? I don't think so.
Huh, I'm trying to think. I swore there was a...
They had a couple of, like, reveals, or I don't even know if it was reveals, but, you know, like a couple of exclusive tidbits with Spike TV, and I think that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley will make fun of this Nintendo thing coming up next on Spike TV.
Well, he's the host of the Smash Brothers tournament.
Seriously? You know that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're playing in Mountain Dew?
How do these things happen? I don't understand.
I don't know, but yeah, they just released that trailer for the Smash tournament, showcasing all the people who are going to play. Hopefully that's televised or in some recording. I would actually be interested in watching that. I don't know how long it's supposed to take, but...
Do you think, is it just going to be Keighley asking all the Smash Brothers participants, like...
Do you wish you were playing a different game?
Exactly. What is it Nintendo is not delivering for your experience?
How is this upsetting you, playing this in front of everybody?
Frame rate looks pretty bad to me. What do you guys think?
Hey, did that drop to 59 frames? Damn it, Nintendo. I haven't followed him too much, but...
Joey's going to hate.
It's a double standard almost. It's an unfortunate position that we're put in as Nintendo fans, because there really isn't a lot of support for Nintendo fandom in mainstream media. So you have things like G4 and Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb, and
well, you don't even have that.
Well,
anymore.
Not anymore, right?
But I know what you mean. Those
you did
kinda,
before,
yeah, and they were big.
And it's your one source to go off the internet and find coverage of this stuff. But they were always so negative, even when they didn't have to be.
Yep.
I mean, I heard reports of Adam Sessler being relatively fair, and I didn't follow him too much.
Very relative.
But I did, you know, I liked him enough, I guess. But I know that Morgan Webb, you know, just almost, she was so negative to the point of, was she being paid to be negative? I mean, negativity is fine. I know I don't have too much of it in myself, but I definitely see flaws that Nintendo has. And I try to express that the best I can when I get the chance. But there's so many people who go out of their way to shit on Nintendo sometimes that, yep. Especially in the mainstream media world.
I will never forget, I know at least part of this story I've told before on here, but last year's E3, when they did some of that stuff with Keighley, and I remember he had Kate Linendahl was on, and the guys from Mega 64, two different little interviews, and he was asking them, you know, what's your favorite thing from E3? And both of them were saying something about Nintendo. And instead of furthering the discussion, he would let them go like two sentences and then change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, even with Mega 64, he kind of like challenged them on it for a second. Like, the question was just, what do you like the most? Not what do you think is the, you know, going to sell the most or anything like that.
Right. Which is,
and he was like challenging them on their opinion.
And that's a dickish insinuation.
And yet with Don Matrick from Xbox, because that was the whole controversy last year, was what's going to happen with the DRM stuff, right? And he was interviewing Matrick, and Keighley kind of caught himself going down this like actual journalistic get at the heart of the issue question, and then stopped. He was like in the middle of, like, he was almost about to grill Matrick on it, and then he curbed his own question. So seeing all that, I was just like, I wrote him off forever after that. I mean, that was just too much.
What were we saying, Dave?
I was going to say, Microsoft just activated the chip they embedded into his head.
Yeah, really.
Press the red button now!
in a mountainside bunker somewhere. Although, luckily for them, the stream that they were getting was not cutting out because they weren't Nintendo, so they could see this live. They can know to hit the red button. Otherwise, oh my gosh.
On the Jeff Kiza mech?
Yeah.
Oh!
You know, I'm trying to remember what I was going to say now. Yeah, I guess the one thing that I'm really excited in a more general sense is indie games. There's been a real push lately for indie games to be on the platforms, succeed on Nintendo platforms, and I'm seeing via Twitter and via other social media-esque realms that third-party indie games seem to be pretty excited to work with Nintendo and work on Wii U and work on 3DS.
I know.
And the joy that I see, like Image and Form comes to mind. Now, they, you know, they tweet occasional pictures from their offices where they look like they're having fun and they're doing this, but they also, and they're not Nintendo, you know, second party or anything, but they definitely don't hide their love of Nintendo. And they're not afraid to say, hey, we're excited to be working on this platform, we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's so charming, and it makes me like them as a company, which, if I like a company, it makes me like their brand overall better, and makes me like their games overall better. So, instead of trying to exclude Nintendo fans, I appreciate that some of these guys are, you know, being inclusive, and I'm excited just to see what they have to do. I mean, I would almost love a Nintendo Direct just for indies. You know, let the, give them a lot more time.
Definitely.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea.
I was just online the other day, and you know, Zero, our Negative World Lord and Savior, he posted some information. He posted some information that was pretty interesting. He's I don't know if he wants anybody to know, but he's working on, you know, his own side project, just dabbling in game development.
Information leak.
And
kill the stream.
Press the red button.
But he's gotten to know, I guess, a number of indie developers that are in the his area, and I think what he's seeing is that there's a really big movement actually with you know, if big corporations can't do it right, then why can't we? And I think Nintendo could step in and really make something crazy happen.
Yeah, I mean, they could be the platform for a renaissance. If they acknowledge it and act accordingly, which I feel like they've done a decent step in, but I mean, is it enough? Who knows? Because other platforms have great indie games as well, and I'm very excited for that. I don't want Nintendo to be the only indie game people. You know, the whole industry needs to have it spread out. But
yeah. Sure, but there's an opportunity there to like make it, you know, explode,
to lead the way. Yeah. To be definitive, and isn't that what kind of happened back in the 80s? I mean, it may not have necessarily been indie per se, because it was kind of them leading a lot of the charge, but, you know, innovating the medium.
Yeah.
And having all these creative ideas coming in where they're not being stifled by, again, these executives who are making all these decisions on what they think people want. You know, and also the almighty dollar.
Well, that and things like Kickstarter that actually make things happen.
Yeah.
Amazingly well.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Nintendo could be, you know, like, so they're obviously the first party machine, and then, you know, as we've established, they've had trouble for several generations being third party machine as well. But if they could be the first party and indie machine, now that's a selling point that I think, you know, could actually get you beyond the Nintendo fan as far as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
How you do that, I don't know. I think, as maybe you were just getting at, like, what, you know, with an indie scene where the whole idea is this sort of diversity and all these different ideas and, you know, different companies cropping up with, you know, how do you then become the indie source? But if they could, I think that's a real selling point for them.
And I guess, I mean, indie development seems to mesh so well with Nintendo, because indie development doesn't almost never requires the hottest hardware and biggest budgets.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point is to get an expression across for a more modest budget. Not necessarily the cheapest you can do. It's not a financial thing in that sense. But like...
But it does totally remove that limitation.
Like, going back to Image and Form, SteamWorld Dig, I love that game. I will champion that game to the end of time. It was just such an amazing experience for me. And SteamWorld Dig by EA... would have been a whole clusterfuck of, like, just, I know, probably, two, like, graphics that were too developed and like probably would have been like a first person digger or something, you know?
With online competitive, yeah,
with only online competitiveness. But instead it was this,
and instead of digging, it's shooting.
Yeah, you shoot the ground with your little, with not a pistol though, with like this outrageous weapon. And hell, maybe that could be fun, but I kind of doubt it. So I mean, I hope that more games like that crop up. And Steam has been really good. I don't want to discount them. They were kind of they're kind of the reason that indie games cropped up so hardcore themselves. If Nintendo can manage the console space for that, then that'd be awesome. Being a Nintendo and Steam gamer, almost all my needs would be met. I'd have everything I want except The Last Story. Or not The Last Story, The Last of Us. Right. Which I still can't get, unless I get a PlayStation. But so, that's my take. Probably my most concerning thing. I mean, as much as I want Metroid Prime 4 and Pokemon Snap U, that kind of thing, Nintendo stuff, I would really love to see indies just showcase more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess as we... Okay, so timing is definitely tight. Not to the listeners, because we lost a good half hour of stuff. And we probably should move on. I don't want anyone like doing some crazy like beatboxing or something to kind of move us all along. So,
that was your cue, Dave.
That was your cue.
He was being sarcastic.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess
I'm curious, you want it?
If you got it. Okay, that was Super Mario Kart beatbox.
DK rap.
Yeah, the DK rap beatbox course.
Douchebag cup.
In the ew. What? Douchebag cup. I don't want a cup of that. And a couple teaspoons at most I can handle. But anyway, so yeah, that's the kind of breakdown that happens when we realize we're out of time and we don't know how to transition to anything. So the usual stuff. Comments about this episode on negativeworld.org. You just got to find the thread associated to the episode.
And, that sounds so fun and easy.
It is fun and easy. And honestly, I would considering I don't know how this is going to turn out editing wise. I really want people to come and comment and. And just congratulate Grant for his win. Or Joe for his, depending on what universe you live in.
We'll see how space-time plays out. Yeah. In the second go-around.
If you're not a subscriber to Negative World and space-time doesn't allow you to be, you can reach us through the Facebook page. You just got to find negativeworld.org, search for that. And you can also find us on Twitter, which it's a little bit more active than our Facebook page, I believe. And our handle is @negative_world. So a big thanks to Dave and to Grant, who is no longer here. Appreciate both you guys taking the time to hang out with us this morning or now afternoon.
I had fun.
It was a lot of fun. I'm excited because you haven't been on since like episode 15, I think.
Yeah, it's been
a long time. So we've been getting some.
We're getting all these throwbacks.
Yeah, I like that though. I like it. Hopefully you'll be on again soon. I know you're a busy guy, but we'll be happy to have you anytime.
Thank you.
And Joe, you know, I appreciate you showing up every day, every podcast.
Putting that hard hat on and going to work.
Yep. Mine and those too, Shy man. Guy Falls.
Yeah. Thanks for putting that quiz together. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love doing those, even though I'm terrible at them, apparently.
Well, I think it's always fun to do them regardless, because the answers are typically funny or... And I think it's just fun to listen to the music and try, because you spend so much time loving the music, loving the games, but do you actually have it in there? You know,
it's I know.
It's a test. And I admit this was probably even harder than the Brawl one that we did a few episodes ago, because, the cup is a really tricky. I mean, even if you knew the course, you may not know the cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
But I think it went really well, and it's a shame that we lost some of it, but. All the songs are going to be in the episode, so you've heard them already, and I'll make sure to learn from this moment and not ever have that happen again. I know how to catch it. It was something I've never encountered before. So
yeah, wasn't your fault.
Thanks to the listeners for joining us this episode and to understanding about this little hiccup.
Please understand.
With that, this is Dr. Finkelstein saying race on and have a good one.
Yeah.
See you next E3 episode.
All right, later.
Sign out.
It.